Welcome to the podcast after the podcast. This is Short Rest.
Welcome to Short Rest, everybody. Unbutton that top button. Adjust your angel figurines.
Oh, yeah.
We are here. We are here to talk about episode 15 of Fraud.
Tutors.
App.
Literally shout out to the Tutors crew. Did we say that already?
Fuck, we didn't say Tutors crew.
You know what we meant. We all gotta spell it out everything. Come on now. Mm-hmm.
This was great. I'm joking around. I'm trying to have some fun here. Come on.
Keep up, guys.
I like to have some fun. I like things to be passively implied.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I just feel like shout out to the Tutors crew was not passively implied.
It's so passively implied.
I was looking at you confused about being like, they knew what we meant. And I'm like, what?
I like to hang with my bros and do narrative techniques.
They know what we meant.
I was ready to claim the credits.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was your idea, though, just now.
It was?
Yeah.
Impossible.
Guys, it was a beautiful collaborative process. Mm-hmm. And it was a wonder to behold. I'll go ahead and give you just an early peek behind the screen.
Uh-huh.
I'm not dressed at all. You're coming into my house and I'm,
sure.
I'm nude.
Yeah.
I'm knocking over tchotchkes everywhere.
Well, you do have a pair of boxers on, but you're wearing them as just a little shrug.
I've tucked the boxers between my legs.
No, you've never seen a little shrug?
Oh, okay, a little
it's
shrug.
It's like, I feel like in the 90s or the aughts, like, there was this type of clothing that I don't know who it was for or what purpose it solved, but it was just like, it was as if someone took a cardigan and then chopped off most of it except for the fabric that connected the
so
two
it's like
arms.
A scarf?
It's like two arms.
Wait, is it
I know
trunks
what you're talking
jacket?
About.
Is it like a tiny little jacket?
No, that's just
no,
a tiny little jacket.
No, that's more of like that's a bolero
bomber, dude.
Jacket.
Yeah. That's a bomber.
It's not a bomber because it's like a crop top.
Oh my god, dude! It's a freaking bomber.
It's a modified
is
bomber though.
Show me a picture. I think it might be vaguely bolero.
Yes, future. This is the one time I'll agree with AI when it agrees with me.
Do you guys wonder if we're really alienating people by making fun of AI? Because I think
we're
it's
alienating.
Like really
it's
widely
AI.
Adopted.
I think it's the safest fucking opinion out there.
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. It does it
you
makes
don't
Googling
think that
anything impossible.
I think if you saw that Coca-Cola ad and were like, wow, this is awesome. This is getting me in the holiday spirit, then fuck you.
Okay.
I'll plant my line in the sand.
We keep making these jokes and I'm like, phew, we might be losing people.
I think
that AI is gonna employ me someday. But.
Sure.
So yes, a shrug is just
it's like two arms of a cardigan connected by
seeing this now. Okay.
It's really strange. Anyways, but that was you were trying to talk
you
about the episode,
make a
but then started to say that you were naked.
No, it's gone. We're pivoting. Yeah. We're talking about clothing styles now.
You know what? Speaking of interesting clothing styles, Emily and I watched 300 last night.
No, we simply have to talk about the episode before we do that.
Do we?
Yes.
Do you?
Because I do want to
talk about 300.
I have a lot of questions. but I have a more important rose to give right now.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was very fun the way that you threw the ball in our court.
Oh, for the house?
Yeah, for designing the house. I thought it was like really funny. And I feel like it's like always, it's really fun when DMs ask you, like also to like think about it like a group, you know?
Yeah.
I thought that was really fun.
Well, to continue my peek behind the screen, now that I've got my shrug on.
Yeah.
I initially had
super
planned
type,
it to
by the
be...
way.
It's cutting off my circulation. My arms are pinned back. I had initially planned for it to be more of a competition. And it was going to be you guys could like shout out what you wanted the house to look like. And then essentially you would like roll and whoever got the best roll would get to like dictate the style of the house.
Yeah.
And that roll would also determine like, you know, how good it looked.
Well, you didn't anticipate that we would all be on the same board.
Yes. As soon as you all started screaming at A-frame, I had to piss.
Well, I was just imagining this.
We all like the same bad thing.
This beautiful A-frame lake house, and then Emily added turrets.
Well, because you were like, Onyx, you studied some architecture in college. And I'm like, okay, I studied architecture in college. What would I have learned? History, turrets.
Turrets.
That you had turrets, because I feel like I would have gone buttress. It's like instantly where my head goes.
But isn't that more interior? Oh, no, you can have the flying buttress, exterior one.
I don't know what a freaking buttress is.
If you go, if you like, look at a cathedral.
Support system.
Okay.
it's kind of like a, I'm going to butcher this. I'm going to butcher the butchers. It's like an arched support system.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I see it.
Okay.
Yeah. And then like on big cathedrals, they'll have them outside and it looks rad.
Yeah.
It looks almost like the ribs of a building.
It looks pretty rad.
They're pretty cool.
But my mind didn't go there. It went to turrets.
It's no Trunks jacket.
Yeah.
I was also reading about like fortifications at the frontiers of empires. And so I like had military architecture on the brain.
Gotcha.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And turrets. It's very funny. Of like of all the styles to mash, like a turret on an A-frame.
And I was also imagining it as like, have you guys ever been to Norm's, the breakfast place that is an A-frame?
Yeah.
I think it's an A-frame. Or it's just like glass.
But also IHOP is a... IHOP is an A-frame.
Traditionally, I think IHOP is an A-frame.
Yeah.
Right?
So that's right.
I wanted to look like
now that IHOP is in strip malls everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a pancake house that's fortified for war.
Yeah.
The pancake wars.
Yeah.
I do like how you just slowly arrived at like an alternate history Hooters though, because like a double A-frame, again, it does look like pointy tits.
Yeah.
And I feel like I could really see them running with that in another world. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it was full of baby angels.
Full of baby angels. Baby
Angel. Did you guys have, did anyone in your family have a baby angel house?
We didn't have a baby angel house, but my mom does have a lot of like porcelain tchotchkes.
We had gnomes at my house.
Ooh.
Lawn gnomes.
And yeah, then you're a
little bears.
You're a lawn gnomes and I was going to say bears family. Bears.
My mom has a lot of these. They're like little enamel, how to describe them? It's like a tiny little enamel canister that you can like open up and put like a small memory inside. They're like about the size of a quarter, maybe
Does she use it to put memories inside?
No, they're all empty.
Oh.
Whoa.
Wow.
That sounds like something that like when I first started going to yard sales, I would be like, so precious, must buy. Mm-hmm. And then I think I had three of them and I was like, I don't know what to do with this.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I need to, I'm at capacity.
I think you could put like one mint in them.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good.
Yeah.
What a great memory.
Remember this Altoid? Remember this?
I mean, honestly, you could remember a restaurant that way if you the mint.
I take it all
restaurant?
Back. Yeah. All my fucking sarcasm, all my rotten
it
attitude.
Would be kind of a, it would be kind of cool if you were like slightly magical and
so slightly.
And you could write the name of the restaurant on a mint, and then you would fill up a whole thing of mints with all the names of restaurants, and then when you ate that mint, you would sort of relive that dinner.
Yeah. Wow. Oh. Olive Garden 97.
That's cool. I kind of do that with matchbooks. I take a matchbook a lot from the restaurants.
Yeah. I
they
honestly
don't have them anymore.
I'm pissed when they don't have a matchbook. I think that all restaurants should be required to carry matchbooks.
Yeah. They're still going hard on them in New York. I get them a lot.
I've been in New York and I haven't noticed them because I think I had it in my head. I got it. Yeah. I think you need to reach out. I think they're not leaving them out.
You have to yell at the host.
Yeah.
And they'll give you a matchbook. Sometimes it's not the exact one from the restaurant.
But if
you
cry, this doesn't say the name of the restaurant. Yeah.
If you cry, they'll point to somebody who smokes.
So if you lie down on the floor between like the entrance and like where the servers need to walk, they'll basically get you stuff if you need it.
Your protest. Yeah. And, and the thing is, if they don't have matchbooks, you can just request an equivalent amount of butane from the kitchen.
Okay, cool.
They have to give you three lighters if they don't have a matchbook.
That's free butane, baby. It always works.
Yeah.
You might need to bring your own Tupperware or Ziploc though for it.
Right. And don't be afraid to lie down.
But I have a picture of the exact type of angel. These like porcelain angels that are like, they have like mushroom cuts almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like their hair, they've got like the mushroom cut, like the bowl cut.
They're hugging another angel.
Yeah. There's like one angel company that like monopolizes.
I got it.
They almost look like Cupid dolls.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the Labubu of its age, of its era. They are called Precious Moments. Porcelain
Precious
figurines.
Moments.
Is that Precious Moments? I thought Precious Moments was like a whole store.
I think that like maybe that's their flagship product is like the cute angels. Although these are clothes.
Booty angels.
No, these are different.
Yeah,
I think.
No. You need cheeks
these
out.
These aren't the originals.
We're thinking of cheeks out. I didn't personally have any porcelain angels in my life or even any porcelain tchotchke collectors in my immediate life, but I went over to other people's houses.
Yeah, sure.
And saw
and
them
marveled
and was like,
at
and
their
marveled.
Angel
you, there's always
especially
a room.
Especially because there's like glass in between you and it.
Oh, like the crystal, like you get like a crystal penguin or something. That looks cool.
I actually,
the
one of my friends.
I'm not on board with.
One of my friends, their parents are like massive collectors of penguins.
Okay.
Oh,
so you go over to the house and I don't know how to explain to you. She warned me ahead of time. there's so many penguins, just be warned. Yeah. And I still was shocked by how many penguins
there
were. Is it
just penguin theming or is it like one specific sort of penguin?
Little tiny penguins
Little
everywhere.
Tiny penguins. Okay.
Anything that could have a penguin on it has a penguin
it's
on
like
it.
It's like freaking Club Penguin over there, right?
It really is.
Am I right, my fellow Gen Z kids?
Wait, what's Club Penguin?
Club Penguin was a, I think it's maybe more of a millennial thing. It was like a, like, early online kind of chat room for kids. Okay. I think you could like make your own penguin avatar.
It's like an MMO. Almost.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That sounds fun.
I feel like I was too old for it. I just know about it through just kind of like internet osmosis.
Yeah.
So yeah, shout out to Club Penguin. If you're a Club Penguin head out there, no, we're
Raise
thinking
your
about
fins.
You.
Yeah,
exactly. huddle up with your eggs.
Yeah.
Precious Moments was a store at the mall where you would buy a useless gift for your parents when you were 14 years old. And you're just like, what my mom really wants is a snow globe that says our names on it.
My mom was an artist. I could not be making swings like that.
Yeah.
I wanted these. I thought these angels were so cute.
Really?
You could have
You're
them
on
now.
Board with the angels.
Well, when I was a kid, I was like, I was into any type of figurine.
Yeah,
like, it
me
didn't matter
too.
if it was like a toy I could play with or just one that I needed to, that I could look at like on my grandma's shelf.
What kind of figurines did you collect? I did eraser dogs. I did tropical frogs.
What the hell is an eraser dog?
Eraser dog?
Eraser. It's
they, like a hot dog eraser?
It was like little huskies, like the ones that race.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they came in erasers.
Ooh.
As little erasers.
Okay.
I guess I thought this was like a really universal thing.
I collected ones called, like, they were like animal beast, like mutant robot things.
Whoa, that sounds
God,
cool.
I'm never
Are you talking about Beast Wars Transformers? What are you talking about here?
No.
There was so many... Again, it was a real collectible era before everything went digital.
I think everything's still pretty collectible.
That is, yeah, to an extent.
Yeah.
I guess we are in the throes of Labubu-dom, so it's true. It's come back around. I've been searching porcelain angel figurines naked. Which is
Did you turn safe search off?
I always have it off.
You could say butts out instead of naked. Maybe that's like... Maybe.
Butts out, not hot.
Maybe it was more of an 80s, 90s thing, really.
I think so.
I can picture it really.
The angels
definitely.
Have really reined it in.
Can I say, though, is there a point in your life when you're like, I guess maybe this is just a from an era where people had bigger houses, but it's just like, I can't imagine a point in my life where I'm like, I have one room that is just off limits. Like, I have one room that is just full of, like, tchotchkes that no one is allowed to go into.
Yeah, I definitely don't have that, and I don't have any concept of having that. Mm-hmm. Maybe when you're older and you don't have a job and you don't need an office anymore.
Oh.
Like, then maybe that turns in. I think that would, I really liked utility.
I think it was much more of a, our grandparents grew up in the Great Depression.
Yeah.
And then once, like, the economy got better when
they were buying
older,
angels.
Mm-hmm. They were just like, I can buy every angel
angels. Don't touch
these angels
them.
Are gonna be worth money someday.
That's why they're called boomers, because it's baby angel boomers.
Oh.
The angel is implied in baby boomer.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, Murph would prefer that we didn't spell that out then.
Don't give it away.
Okay, my things were called battle beasts. That's what they were called.
Battle beasts.
That
battle
sounds beasts? Really awesome.
That sounds so generic.
That sounds really awesome.
They were fucking sick. There are animals and then also robots.
Okay, whoa. So yeah, these are Transformers ripoffs, essentially.
Yes.
I'm seeing them. I'm liking them. Okay.
Yeah, and Beast Wars was later, so this was pre-Beast Wars. Jake was really on the precipice of something.
I was really tagging along with my mom to different tag sales and going hard on these battle beasts.
What is everyone's, I think, like, you know, if you do, let's think aspirationally, right? Like, what is the thing that you're going to collect? If you did have a room you could set aside for just...
I'm looking at these battle beasts. I think I would go back to that.
Back to
like
battle
now
beasts?
I've got more cash to spend on the battle beasts.
I want to get a freaking Pizza Hut lamp.
Yeah,
I'm in that era. I'm like, I turned 40 and I'm just like, I guess I want cups from Pizza Hut.
What
like, I guess I'm that guy now.
Yeah, dude.
What it I would sucks. Want is like, I love looking at like Craigslist and seeing like weird musical instruments on there. So if I had a room that I didn't need anything else to do it with, I would just fill it with weird musical instruments that I found on Craigslist.
God, that's so tasteful. Mm. That's really nice and tasteful.
Thank you. Yeah, I agree. I think it's also really tasteful.
That's a room that you would not be ashamed of.
Not as tasteful as Pizza Hut cups.
Yeah. Pizza
Hut cups. Well, I mean, that would be, obviously me and Merv share a house. So we're like, really can only have one room that we don't use. So it's going to be Pizza Hut cups and weird musical instruments.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds awesome.
I was talking to Zach Oyama and apparently he's got a VCR player in his garage now. And yeah. It's weird, like what response that elicited in me. Like that normal ass phrase just really awoke something in me where I'm like, wow, what if I had a wall of VHS tape?
I mean, I was collecting DVDs for a minute, but now I've actually just hopped to, I think I've already said this, but now I just get them from the library.
Yeah, we're getting into it. We're renting DVDs from the library. And now we can talk about 300.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So
I wanted to watch...
Talk about Battle Beasts.
I wanted to watch Troy.
And I am putting in a whole request.
Emily was like, instead of Troy, I got 300.
Because 300 was available.
But 300 is fucking bad.
300 was available, and I need to put in a request for Troy because it's not at our local branch.
It's a hot property.
300 was like such a cultural touchdown.
That's the thing, though.
So I have a question. Yeah. I have a question.
The movie doesn't meet the impact that it had.
Yeah, the quotes it spawned.
Yes. So, first off, I have no clue what quotes it would spawn because I feel
this is
like
Sparta.
Okay.
Our arrows will blot out the sun, then we will fight in the shade.
Okay, they really do make a meal of that line. Yeah. I think that what really rocked me about this is that I am such an easy to please action fan. So 300 just really didn't work for me. I didn't find it good. I don't know why anyone would take the lush seaside of Greece and desaturate it.
It's all style that ages very poorly.
Yes, but one of the things that I pinpointed as something that wasn't working for me was the slow-mo shots throughout action.
Sure, sure.
And I thought, okay, well, it's because I'm missing the adrenaline rush of action, but maybe for other people, the slow motion of the action, they get to see rippling bodies. It's more like a slowly moving painting. So as you guys who are like appreciators of like male
physiques,
muscles,
right. Sure.
Like does something like that, are you like, actually, that's awesome, and I will trade some action for the slow-mo shot of rippling muscles.
It's actually interesting.
The physiques were a big part of that movie. Like, there was the 300 workout, the 300 diet.
They were.
The physiques were a big part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of wondering if that's why it didn't age that well, because now Hollywood physiques are all so ridiculous that is just baseline now.
Oh, okay, so
and back
really
in the
novel.
Day, those dudes, I mean, they still, everyone's in incredible shape, and I'm sure everyone is incredibly dehydrated and like not feeling well day to day.
Yeah.
But they all look fucking shredded. Mm-hmm. And if you look at like Hugh Jackman in the first X-Men, he's not as jacked
as somebody
Hollywood
now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so Hollywood now is so ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's like a side by side of like him in the first one and then him in the latest one. And it
he just looks
insane.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. I think that also because, you know, visuals have gotten better. Now when I'm watching their physiques, it's, at least on like the quality of TV that we're watching it on now, you can just see how much of their abs is spray painted on.
Well, I think it's just contouring.
I found that like a little, there was some aggressive contouring.
Definitely aggressive contouring.
Which I bet probably played better on different tech.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think my problem with the movie, obviously was the style of it just ages terrible. It looks like the way that like PlayStation 1 games look really bad now because it was like cutting edge for the time. But now when you watch it, you're just like, there's nothing but like smoke for being a movie called 300 with 300 dudes fighting
like really
a million dudes.
It really looks like there's 12 at most.
There's 12 people on the screen at any time. Where you're just like, wait, this is
insane.
The army is just 12
so
dudes.
Until the, you know, until the very end, they're just nonstop winning.
It's all W's. Everyone is just cool and brave on the Spartan side. There's no one that's like this guy's like a little bit scared and this guy like wants to get home or something like that. No. They're all cool and brave.
Yes.
They all kind of want to get home, but mostly they just want to be cool and brave.
Right. They want to be cool and brave together, though. And I think like that is really a point in the win column for this movie is like every 5 years or so, we do need a movie where it's just guys being dudes and it will help cure the male loneliness epidemic. I think this movie like was a push for that because afterwards, like everyone, there was a lot of like positive male support about getting buff, about hanging out, about quoting 300 with your guys.
Really?
About not drinking water.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think it was positive.
So I wanted to know, but I wanted to know, Caldwell and Jake, like, do you remember it coming out? Do you remember seeing it? Do you remember liking it? Do you remember also like if our slow-mo shots fun for you?
I loved it. Yeah.
I think what I remember is just that it was so different than any other action movie. Mm-hmm. Like even, you know, the gradient that it was shot in, like the tone, like it was different. The blood splattering was all new.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I think it was like, it was novel and it was so novel that I like don't even really remember the plot.
Yeah, well, the plot is like really hard to put together. There's like a narrator the whole time, but it's not, I don't know. Caldwell, what was your experience?
Well, I think Murph brings up a really good point, which is that this did come out in like the PS2 era and like all of the cutscenes in it do look like Devil May Cry cutscenes where it's just like a guy jumping really high and like going into slow-mo and then he like spins around and kills a bunch of dudes.
Yeah. It was like a real edgelord time. Mm-hmm. It was a movie for an edgelord time.
Yes.
I think I just really like things colorful.
It was the height of the gritty reboot.
Yeah. That's true. That's back when like, oh, you're making an X-Men movie. They should all be in black leather instead of making it fun literally at all.
Yeah. But when you say it's novel though, is it novel in that, because when I was watching it, the entire time I was like, this is the color scheme of Gladiator. Mm-hmm. The lead looks like a knockoff of the lead of Gladiator.
Yes.
They're literally like walking through wheat fields like in Gladiator. And I was like, well, Gladiator had probably come out 10 years before. No, it had come out like 4 years before.
Wow. Yeah, no, they just,
they must have taken like the good parts of Gladiator and been like, all right, let's just like mainline that.
Yes.
Yeah.
More wheat, more abs.
300
only the fighting part of Gladiator.
Yeah. 300 is the Scarface to Gladiator's godfather.
Whoa.
Whoa, wow. But Scarface is good.
Bravo.
Yeah.
But so is 300.
I see where you're going with it.
I was expecting to like 300, so I just was really shocked. And I think if there hadn't been so many slow-mo shots and the action scenes had been a little like more adrenaline coursing, I would have been like, great, love the movie. I'm
Could you watch it on 2x speed? Do you think it could just fast forward?
Or
the big thing that bumped me was just that there were, at any time, it would just be like, there were simultaneously too many dudes and not enough dudes. Because there'd always just be like 12 indistinct dudes talking to each other about how much they loved to fight and loved honor. And then you'd also just be like, where are they? They're just on a smoky mountain? Like, what the fuck is this?
And like, there's one scene where like the lead guy, who I think might be a bad actor.
Gerard Butler?
Yeah. He walks in. All of the men are standing like motionless. And he walks in. He's like, gather around, everyone. And everyone's just stand still because they're gathered wrong.
They're already gathered. Successful. The whole fucking movie is being gathered. Yeah.
Like, they're always gathered.
Like, no attempts to make the 12 men look like they were doing anything other than just standing. Yeah.
This is also, so this came after Sin City, I think. And both of them are Frank Miller.
I bet you that looks like ass now.
Yeah,
you
I love Sin City.
I saw
Sin City and I liked Sin City. 300 I had never seen.
Mm-hmm.
I was just aware of it because of the impact on dudes at the time.
Yes.
I think
this is Sparta, something I think I still say every once in a while as I pretend to kick someone.
Hard one to set it.
Yes. I said it to get a matchbook the other day.
Dudes were eating well. Or dudes were not eating well because they had to have their abs showing.
No, they had people to airbrush abs on.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It was all contour.
And that's like, you know, this was the through line. As you get like 300, you got Jersey Shore. People were spray tanning their abs
Whoa,
on.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And they're still doing that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it was a tough watch. It was a really tough watch.
I would say it was not my favorite And I have really low standards.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen it. I can't imagine. Like, nothing appeals to me about seeing it.
But I can imagine it being really fun at the time.
Mm. Yeah. At the time, it was cool.
Yeah. I think I like things that are colorful, because I also watched Casino by Martin Scorsese. Mm. And I feel like I don't usually like mafia stuff, but this takes place in like 70s and 80s old Vegas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it's really colorful. Mm-hmm. So I ended up really liking it.
I'll say it. Casino's better than 300. I'll say
it. I think it might be. Yeah. I think it might be.
I know that's a hard take.
Wait, Emily, what was the name of that other Zack Snyder movie we watched? We watched like a sci-fi movie that was like a part
one
of two.
That one was tough.
Fuck.
The thing is, when I watch trailers for Zack Snyder movies, I think I'm going to like them every time.
Because it's trailer the movie. It's like all style with it. Or it's it's like Instagram filters over a movie, you know what I mean?
But like, because the DVDs at the library come with ads for other...
You know what it is? It's like
What do you mean?
We're just talking about 300 because we get DVDs from the library.
What's so wrong with that?
I know, our audience is just like, what the fuck are they talking about?
All right, I just have 20 minutes on Rebel Moon. Sci-fi movie, and then we can move
that
on.
That one's kind of current.
Yeah.
It was from like 5 years ago.
I think the thing about Zack Snyder, final comment on it is like when you see an AI image and you're like, that's cool. And then you realize it's AI and you're like, fuck, it tricked me. It's not good.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the world's problems would be solved if more people were just renting 300 at the library.
That is interesting.
I think that's a better way to live your life than whatever... I don't know what I did last night, but I bet it wasn't as good as that.
I mean, it was a very, when you rent stuff from the library, it is a very vivid experience.
It eventizes.
You like
That's
get
what I'm
it,
saying.
You look forward to it, you watch it.
I wasn't
it,
looking forward to watching 300.
You wanted to see Brad Pitt do that weird little jump.
Yes, I wanted to see him do the freaking jump.
And we're gonna get there. No spoilers. I have not reserved it yet.
I don't
That's
remember.
The thing. Kids don't realize that, like, I used to go to the video store. Mm-hmm. I'd rent a video. We would go home if we made the wrong choice. You know, we read the back. We
weekend
the photos.
Yeah,
but like if you make the wrong choice, you're fucked. That's just what you're watching.
Do you remember making the wrong choice ever?
Oh man, yeah.
What's
do you
the
remember any
choice?
Movies that it was like, wow, that sunk the night. The family's in bad spirits. How do we claw our ways back up from this?
Dad's upset. And I don't think it's work.
I think I've talked about
Mom
this before.
Mom is sleeping in another room.
Was it my movie?
I remember going to see The Truman Show with my family. Mm-hmm. And like, I loved it. And everyone else like wasn't into it. And I was just like, what's going on here?
Did they think it was going to be funny?
I think they were expecting classic Carrie. And he was putting on a little bit of a show.
And not like thoughtful Carrie.
Mm-hmm. Pensive Carrie. Right?
I remember one time me and my friends rented National Security with Steve Zahn and Martin Lawrence.
Yeah.
That sounds like that should work to me.
It wasn't very good. And then as a joke, one of my friends, anytime he went to Blockbuster to go get us the movie, would get National Security again.
That's just great.
It was a very funny joke, but it legit would like ruin nights.
Yeah.
And he would insist that he wasn't going to do it. And then he would convince whoever he was with to get National Security.
But the longevity of that bit is paying off.
It still makes me laugh,
which is amazing.
Yeah. There's a long curve to that bit.
Yeah.
That's classic high school too, though. It's just to like not quite get have a grasp on like what a good bit is.
I think that's an excellent, anything, he was ahead
of his time. I think I know who this was, and he is like kind of like a master.
He's just a troll.
Yeah, he's a master troll. He was like a troll before there was like an internet to learn how to do it from other people.
Wow.
Yeah, just getting National Security like... He got it like to lowball it, I would say, four times when we trusted him.
That's incredible. And also he predicted the Renaissance, because I feel like Steve Zahn's like really back in the mix now.
Oh yeah.
Is he? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Uh-huh.
He seems cool.
He was on White Lotus, he was on Silo. He was great on Silo.
Cool. Yeah. It is Zahn.
It's back Zahn. He's back Zahn.
Whoa, get us in touch with Zahn. We need to be his PR team.
Excuse me. We're going to plan a lot of stories. The
trademark. Zahn, if you want that, you need to contact us. That is not free.
Yeah, you won't get zonked by Zahn.
Oh, yeah.
You can have that one's on.
We, of course, had Esmeralda's wagon that we dumped all the trash into the air. Oh, my God. Poop into the water.
We're not beating the like late 90s, early 2000s allegations here. We talked about DMB for a long time.
I have to say, I guess I was more in the fish world, but I did not know anything about this DMB about poop story.
It's so that funny. It was a big deal. Mm-hmm. A big deal.
There's literally a Wikipedia called Dave Matthews Band Bus Incident.
And I think it was like, I don't think, you know, clearly it was just like their bus had to like dump this. And I think that, you know, if you look into the story, I'm sure that they had a reason or whatever.
No, it's not good. It's actually, you can't dump shit into a fucking river.
That's fair. You know, it wasn't Dave pressing.
No, it wasn't Dave. I doubt.
Dave was busy that day.
I think Dave was probably busy.
Yeah. Dave was tuning his fiddler's fiddle.
Yeah. Oh, it does
say. Dave was rehearsing Jimmy.
Okay. Boy, let's relitigate this.
Okay.
On August 8th, 2004, a tour bus belonging to
3 days after my birthday.
To the American rock group Dave Matthews Band dumped an estimated 800 pounds of human waste.
Whoa, that is so much.
Through the Kinsey Street Bridge in Chicago. Okay, so like the Chicago River.
That's directly into the river.
They dumped shit into the Chicago River and Caldwell defended it.
I was trying to get
majority. Wow. Caldwell wants 800 pounds of shit. He wants 800 pounds of Dave's
shit in the Chicago River.
That's a collector's item, man.
He's like, yeah, they dye it green for St. Patrick's Day. What's wrong with brown for the DMB concert?
Okay. All right. So
Dave Matthews Band is not involved in this city anymore.
So Dave Matthews Band was not on the bus. It was just the driver who then lied and said he didn't do it, but then and the band supported him. And then he got caught on video, and apparently he was the only person on the bus.
Didn't it land on a ship, or was that part made up?
I think that part might.
That's
have made
hell.
Up. Oh wait, no. Then how did passenger boat Chicago's Little Lady was hosting the 1 p.m. Chicago Architecture Foundation tour of the Chicago River.
Oh my God!
Any more defenses you want to get in there, Caldwell, before crazy? We keep going? Or
wait, this landed on people. This honor. Landed
to
on
have
people?
Dave Matthews shit on your face, it's an honor.
Okay.
Wait, did
while
this
passing
land
under
you
the bridge,
be so lucky.
While passing under the bridge, the boat received the full contents of the tank on the seats of its open roof terrace. Roughly two-thirds of the 120 passengers aboard the tour boat were soaked.
No!
The boat immediately returned to its dock, where all passengers were issued refunds.
They were
more than refunds. They should be taken to the fucking hospital.
Passenger,
antibiotics.
Yeah, passengers aboard.
Or at least the parking lot for the tailgate.
There were elderly. There was a pregnant woman. There was a small child and an infant. The liquid waste was brownish yellow in color and had a foul, offensive odor.
Oh my God, this is the grossest thing I've ever heard.
Okay, but
heard.
Listen, did they get free Dave tickets for the rest of their life?
I don't think so.
It's the worst surprise round ever.
This is so much worse.
I'm never taking another boat ride ever. Not that I do it a lot in my life.
Didn't they get sued? I think those people all got like monetary damages. They did.
Probably,
I think that you should maybe get monetary damages.
I guess I didn't know the full thing. I think I just thought they did it into like a lake or something. And it's just like, that's fucked up. Shouldn't do that. And it was directly into the Chicago River onto people.
Onto a boat called the Little Lady.
How do you not double check for the Little Lady?
Maybe she's little.
Yeah, there's a chance that everyone on the Little Lady was String Cheese Incident fans. So there was a little bit of a rivalry.
Okay, so this was a turf war thing.
Exactly.
All right, so Jen's actually wasn't as bad as the bus driver of the
But you can't.
Dave Matthews
which
band.
Is saying a lot.
Yeah. Right? I thought I was being comically awful.
Yeah. I just think it's nice that Dave came to his bus driver's defense, okay? Yeah. That's all I'll say.
I mean, he didn't throw him under the bus, as it were.
There you go. How are you going to throw a bus driver under the bus?
But yes, it was very fun. Just swinging wide back around, like Murph's Friends bits, long arc on this. We're all the way back to the episode.
Yeah.
I really loved, getting to build this little fortress with y'all.
Yeah.
It was really, so basically for this episode, what I needed like one thing to happen, which is like, I have to get rid of some fucking NPCs.
Sure. Yeah.
There's too many NPCs following y'all around. It's just like, by the nature of Strahd, you just encounter a lot of people and you do need help and fight. So it's just like, I need like a safe place. And I was kind of inspired by the bastions that Jake put into Skaldova. And I was just like, oh, it'd be fun if there was like, a fun place where they could all hang out and be safe from Strahd. And like in the book, there is like a place, it's one of the other churches that has like these thigh bones in them from like a priest. And like they're kind of like constantly casting a hallow spell.
Specifically the priest's thighs?
Yes.
Why thigh?
I think it's just like maybe that's like the one thigh? Bone that was remaining. I don't know.
Thigh bones? It just feels like...
Mm-hmm. It's just more... They're in the source book, they're definitely just like, they're going to ask what kind of bone it is. Who gives a shit? It's the fucking thigh bone.
But that's like just, a femur feels less questions. Distracting yeah. than a thigh bone. Maybe it doesn't actually. Now that I said it, if you said... There's just the priest's femurs. That's distracting too. Okay.
Yeah, that sounds just grim.
I don't know why it's the thigh bone, but it is also in the book, it doubles as a mace. So like it is Whoa. A weapon you can use. So it's kind of like a holy weapon. It is St. Markovia's thigh bone. I'm looking it up.
Okay.
St. Markovia's thigh bone.
So yeah, sure. There's I kind of combined two things because there's like St. Markovia's thigh bone and St. Markovia, but then also there's like a whole area called Kresk. Uh-huh. Which is where the abbey actually is. Mm-hmm. And in Kresk, there's like a shimmering pool where like you can see ghosts from the other side. And like cool. in the book, there's a chance for like, essentially for Marina's story to end.
Yeah.
You can just be like, oh, you see Sergei in there. Do you want to go with him? And then like, she'll just go in the pool and be gone from the campaign. And it just felt a little anticlimactic to have that happen. So I wanted to have kind of like a place where she could train and get stronger, but also, you know, give us a chance to move on and do some other stuff, especially since you have Esmeralda now.
Who yeah.
is, in a lot of ways, just like more powerful Marina.
Sure.
Got it. Murph, I have a question about Christianity.
Okay.
is that a thing from Christianity that
just
like
thigh bones?
A bone from
kinda.
Christ I mean, can like, be used as a weapon?
I don't know. I know like they know keep saints' the bones and stuff like that.
Isn't there the cloth that Jesus
Shroud
was
of Turin?
The Shroud of Turin?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of like relics.
It's less but about the no bones. There's like less the.
Okay. I just wasn't sure if when you were an altar boy, if they ever took you in the back and said, like, hey, here are the bones. We have Jesus's bones. We have
Jesus's bones.
It is. Yeah. So there is definitely a lot of like relics and stuff like that. And like, you know, there are catacombs with like saints encased in like cool sarcophagi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like
yeah.
they're definitely reverent about the bones. And I guess like the bones probably, I feel like this is the problem with the Catholic Church is they're not doing enough power scaling.
Uh-huh.
They're not like, if I go there, and be like, what is like, how many bones do I need to like protect myself from the devil? And like, what's the rate of drop on each of these bones? Like, are there rare bones?
I think whatever level of bones they have for a saint, they'd be pumped about. So I think you can, I think rest easy knowing that they'd be pumped about bones.
Can I ask a really delicate question?
Sure.
So like.
Because we're being very delicate about
the bones. Didn't Mother Teresa get canonized or like become a saint?
Yeah.
So.
Where is she at?
Right.
But so do they like immediately like be like dibs on the bones? Like is she. Is she buried in a way that her bones are going to, like when she is decomposed, her bones are going to go straight to holy relic territory?
Interesting. Should we get the Pope on the show to ask about this?
Yeah.
This probably.
Oh, yeah. He's from Chicago.
He's
from
know.
Chicago. I bet he was there for the Dave Matthews.
Yeah. Well, he probably listens because of that, because he was probably listening to the episode and then was like, I can't believe they brought that up.
Right.
I'm gonna finally sign up for the short rest because I bet they're going to talk about
that. It looks like she's in a tomb.
Okay.
Yeah.
But so. Like, is it going to be like in like 50 years or are they going to be like, those
I don't
bones.
Think in 50 years.
Yeah, I think it's got to be like 100
I think
minimum.
For your like bones to be like truly treasured, they have to be super old bones.
Yeah. I think it's like they
this is why I'm asking. Like, at what point do the bones of a saint go from being the body to something that's a relic?
This is so, like a transubstantiation, but for the bones.
Yeah.
I know there's a thing with like Mary Magdalene where they say they have her skull.
Yeah.
And it is like a very metal... there's like a gold statue with an actual skull in it.
Whoa.
That's
the way
cool.
It looks like an astronaut almost. It's fucking sick. Look up relics of Mary Magdalene. It's like they've got like a you know what it looks like? It looks like fucking Sephiroth's mom. It looks like
it looks like Jenova a bit.
And I think it's probably inspired by that.
It becomes a place of pilgrimage for FF7 fans.
So I think the older the bones, the more likely they are to be like, we're going to incorporate this bones in the statue that looks like it was from Final Fantasy.
That
VII.
Checks out, and I think
okay.
That, like,
so
that
maybe
is,
in like 200 years they're going to start.
I think
making art,
I think
like,
1,000 years. I think 1,000 like years. Yeah, okay. Really long.
Wow. And I do think you should be able to ask like whoever is the priest or the cardinal of that church, like how is the what's the holy power of these bones? Like what's the what's the relic rate?
Yeah,
yeah.
I think they should.
If I'm still alive, I'll ask.
Yeah.
And Jake, he might be.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't know what's going
to
happen.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool how the Pope, when he was in Chicago, did bless the river to get rid of the poop. Much like Markovia did.
It was still bubbling there.
He has to come every single year to reinstate it.
It's to consecrate it.
I can't believe the shit hit people. I can't believe
it. It's such a nightmare.
Yeah.
It's such a nightmare. They all should have been given antibiotics.
They definitely were. Yeah.
It would be a nightmare until I found out that it was
Dave.
Like Boyd Tinsley, Dave Matthews, Stefan Lassard.
Tim Reynolds.
And you'd be like, I'd happily
because Tim Reynolds is usually only on the acoustic and it's like a smaller tour. So I don't know if you would have been on. But if they were
in a city he was in, he might have been like hanging out with them and taking it down.
Right. And you don't know how long.
Yeah, he probably shit on the bus. That's a fair statement.
800 pounds. It's like, you have to imagine there's some
800 pounds.
That's like a car.
This is the worst story I've heard.
To be fair to Dave, I've been on a bus before and I don't know where the shit went. I don't know.
You know what?
That is a good point.
Right. No, you hire a driver and you assume that they're responsibly getting rid of the shit.
They're not going to pour it on the shit. People.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's probably what happened, though.
It's like, shouldn't even come up in the interview. You know,
like, and you know,
okay, so you know how to drive. Like, don't drive when you're tired. And what do you do with the poop, by the way?
There's a toilet in the back. Like, if somebody goes number two, that just like doesn't go in the Chicago River. Or that does or doesn't go in the Chicago River. True or false?
What probably happened here is that Tim was on the bus visiting and he was just like, hey, it kind of smells like shit in here. Can you take care of that? And the bus driver was like so freaked out.
Yeah. Starstruck.
Because Tim Reynolds he's usually pretty like casual. He's usually calm and cool.
Who is Tim?
I thought he was the fiddle guy.
No, that's Boyd Tinsley.
This is like
Boyd Tinsley, right?
Yeah. These are
like
deep
I said, cut I didn't know DMB.
Members of I
was a big DMB fan. And I saw Dave and Tim Reynolds at Amherst College.
I was and remain a hater.
Really? My sister likes DMB. So it was kind of her thing.
Yeah.
I think every 10 years or so I'll like go back and be like, huh. Pretty good.
Yeah.
So that's my level of DMB love. Unafflicted by the poop story.
I probably like it. I just didn't really know it that well.
I think I probably went to like 40 or 50 concerts.
Really?
That's wild.
I think so. Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's right.
Do you have a favorite? Do you have one that you're like, that was the night of my life?
Mm. The free show in Central Park.
Wow, that's cool.
Wow.
Core memory because I went with my mom. Aww. Very fun.
Aww.
We found Jake's collection, by the way. It's D&B shows.
Yeah.
That's what he keeps in his tiny tchotchke.
That's right.
Jars.
In my tiny little memory box. Mm. And then also 03 at the Meadows. I mean, I got absolutely sloshed with Eddie, Eli, Matt.
You shot on the
bus.
In the
parking lot. Yeah.
You guys want to do Roses and Thorns?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, before we get there, I'll start off Roses and Thorns because we haven't even talked about the parking lot yet. And I thought that was a beautiful evolution. And it really reminded me like just how much and how little D&D can be sometimes.
Focus on how little.
Where I just asked you like, what does the outside of this house look like? And then we came to the beautiful conclusion that it was a Hooters parking lot.
Which is somehow different than other parking lots.
But you guys like, because it started out as like pea gravel, I think.
Yeah, I think we were trying to think of like, because like, have you ever been to like a house that's like really goes in on the gravel and it's like kind of painful to walk on?
I see someone's pool and they have like gravel next to the pool.
Yeah.
It's just like, why would you
it
do that?
It looks cool. Oh, no. It's just tough to walk on.
Yeah, yeah. But then I think like you just like, that was like the first kernel of an idea. And then you refined it by literally paving over it.
Yeah, right.
That's when everything clicked into place.
Yeah.
And now you kind of have like built a strip mall in Peroria.
Yeah. It is so funny because I keep picturing it like the little island at the center of Lake Bled in Slovenia, which is just like a beautiful historical landmark.
Yeah, there's like a beautiful castle there, right?
Yeah.
With like steps that people will like, you're supposed to like carry your wife up it or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is like when you ride on the Amtrak North and there's like that one little island that has
always look at it and I'm like, what are you? What's your story?
So it's that.
Wait,
except,
do you know what the story is?
I don't. Jake, do you know the story?
When you ride Metro North to upstate New York and you pass, there's like one little island that has like a castle that's crumbling on it.
Oh, yes, I know that castle. And I don't know that there's a story. I think it's just like an old castle or an old fort or something.
Bannerman Castle? Is that what it is?
Wait
Bannerman
a second. Yeah. Guys, do we try to buy it and turn it into a Trinivale?
a Trinivale.
It's an abandoned military warehouse.
Okay.
That's much less sexy. But
no,
still.
But it's kind of perfect for what for what we're going for.
Okay, yeah. So it's probably affordable. We can turn it into a Hooters.
A Tudors. There's
a series of like photographs by a Japanese photographer. I'm blanking on his name, but it's like all of like vending machines like in far off places. There's like one like next to Mount Fuji, and then there's like one like covered in like a big drift of snow, and they're called roadside lights. And they're these like beautiful photographs of like nature contrasting with like man-made innovations.
Yeah.
And I think that like there's nothing more beautiful to me than like a pristine island on a river in like a nice autumnal day with just like a big Hooters just like
right in the middle. Hooters in the middle of Lake Bled. It makes me wish that I had spent my life learning to paint as opposed to like, you know, the artistic disciplines I pursued.
Because like I see that so clearly in my head. Yeah. And I want to render it. And I hope that someone will one day.
I don't think that you're not too late though, Caldwell.
It's not too late.
It's not too late for you to paint a Hooters in Lake Bled. You can get to the stage with your painting where you confidently can render the flecks of sunlight on Lake Bled the Hooters.
the subtle orange glow of the owl's eyes reflecting off of the lake. You see, just a suggestion, really, just a few brushstrokes in the form of a man carrying a woman up the stairs.
Because they keep that tradition. It's just course, now to a Hooters.
Now you have to carry your wife to Hooters. So yes, big bud for having this new like holy fortress where all of your allies can and train and kind of hang out. But also like, you know, you finally made a foothold in Barovia. You have like your fledgling business there because, you know, you could put a Spudfuckers on that land. As you mentioned, it is.
I think we did have a bridge with tolls, I want to say.
Yeah, exactly. What a nightmare.
Just a bridge a bridge to get to a Hooters. Over shit-filled water.
Over shit-filled water. To pay for the parking lot. Which you also, you can't park for free.
Yeah. Because when you go into a parking, when you go to a parking garage, you take the little ticket and you pay when you leave.
Yeah.
What if you paid both ways?
Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly.
Yeah, you that's pay to get the ticket stream. That you pay to leave. Yeah.
Precisely.
I mean, that's good business.
That's just good business. Just
smart. just huge rose to the whole creating the fortress.
Yeah,
I was really laughing at every level of it. Yeah, because I was just imagining. I was just like, I do love an A-frame. Mm-hmm. I do want it to be an A-frame.
I think it did start sincere. Yeah, like, all of us do love an A-frame. And also, like when we were describing the like cabin wood paneled center, that's kind of like open concept. Mm-hmm. I was picturing an Airbnb that me and Murph stayed at forever ago to play D&D. That was like really quite aspirational.
Yeah. It's true. Everything started from a place that was real and then we just took it to the worst place. And we're like, A-frame, what if it just had turrets everywhere?
Yeah.
And then we're like,
but what if the triplets were designing it?
We're like grandma kind of cottage core, which we actually are into, but we're not super into the angel tchotchkes. But for whatever reason, we quadrupled down on the angel tchotchkes.
I kind of picture it like if you knock one over, another one just spawns in its place.
Yeah, two grow in its place. Fantasia. And something really makes me laugh about the idea that the Trinivale triplets would be super into angel figurines. Mm-hmm. Like, why?
Yeah.
They just like everything that sucks.
Just it's like the one time you see Jin smile, he's just staring at the angel figurines and he gets like a placid grin on his face.
You know what? I really liked trolls when I was younger, and that's kind of like the rock and roll angels because their little butts were out.
Their butts were out.
Yeah,
some of their belly buttons had jewels on them. You ever have the jewel ones?
Those
are all of them.
I think that the jewels
were all of
Someone was stealing the jewels from your troll's belly.
They all had
gemless trolls?
I don't know. I guess I thought the gem ones were special.
I thought the gems were the point, dude.
I think someone in your house was stealing those gems and trading them black
market. Why did you even like the trolls if they didn't have gems?
I know.
The hair.
The hair was cool. You're right. Yeah, all right. Good answer. Cool. You passed the test, Hurwitz.
Here's the thing about trolls now is in the new movies, they wear pants and shit. So like, you're not always seeing the butt.
It does seem like one of those toys that it was just like, this of course came out in the 40s and they just relaunched the same dolls in the 80s with gems. And we're just like, yep, we'll eat that shit up.
Yeah. It was great. The gems were thrilling.
Yeah. Hey guys, when did trolls come out? Let's end on that.
Wow. I'm on the
When did trolls come out? Okay. So Caldwell is the question master here.
I like the idea of them evolving from garden gnomes. I'm gonna say they came out in the 70s. I'm gonna say 73.
Okay.
I feel like trolls were already, trends stayed around a lot longer and they were big when we were like really little kids. I'm gonna say like 1988.
Interesting. Okay.
Now that I know they all had gems, I'm gonna go 90.
Okay. 90. Okay.
Well, Jake, they did not all have gems because there was a lot of trolls that predated the gem movement.
Whoa.
Probably was in the 90s, but the original was 1956.
Woo! There we go. Okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking, oh, they are kind of groovy.
Yeah. So they, Jake had 56. Old ass trolls.
Yeah, you might have had trolls.
You had used trolls, dude.
I did do a lot of tag sale shopping.
You had your parents' trolls.
So many kids sucked on those trolls, man.
So tag sales is what you call yard sales?
Oh, yeah.
In Connecticut? Oh, yeah. Interesting.
They just do everything upside down there. All right. That,
except for their pizza.
Except for the pizza. A lot of people defended you when we laughed at Connecticut having the best pizza.
I really appreciate it. I have a friend from Connecticut. He talks about how good the pizza is.
Yeah. I mean, I want to try it.
Yeah. I'm sure it's great.
You're not allowed to anymore, man. Yeah.
I'm sure it's great. With that, let's go ahead and wrap this one up. Thank you all so much for listening. We'll be back next week with another episode of Trinivale Extra and a short rest. In the meantime, Caldwell, why don't you take us out?
Oh, gladly. Everyone, I'm so sorry, but get ready to roll those poop dice.
Roll in with the poop dice.
Not the little lady.